Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Back to Back, the new name of the podcast. Two episodes in 2 days, and for good reason. Off of disaster and into the future, we're back. Jackson Dart's first NFL start coming up this Sunday. Before we get into it, the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, namely iTunes and Spotify. Gentlemen, some exciting news that we caught wind of probably mid-afternoon yesterday that has officially dropped. Per the insiders, it is official. Jackson Dart making his first NFL start. Not the plan. The plan has changed. As they say, the New York Giants plan and God laughs. So here we are. What are the thoughts?
Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face, right? That's what Mike Tyson said. The excitement is back with the season, I believe. I think it's a type of excitement we didn't have over the course of the last couple of years, especially with the quarterback position. Ethan, like you said, this was not part of the plan, but it becomes the plan when you don't win games. I'm excited to watch Jackson Dart. I think there's something about him that players are gravitating to.
He's got aura. That's what the kids call him, right, Nick? He's got aura.
The preseason was fun. The preseason was a lot of fun watching him. And then, but more importantly, during training camp, we saw him get better. So exciting time. How it plays out, we'll see. But I think the unknown is of this young quarterback is what should excite fans in what is looking to be another losing season.
Agreed. Listen, we were calling for this yesterday. I mean, I of the opinion that had the Giants been able to go back in time, that he would have been the week one starter. Again, we're talking Russell Wilson, who doesn't have a red zone touchdown this entire season, struggles to move the ball. You know, all the criticisms of him as a quarterback throughout the years, they were able to mitigate those because he was able to throw a really nice deep ball, which we saw against the Cowboys. And previously, when he's not 38 years old, use his legs to get around and get outside the pocket and make plays. And at his age, it's not possible, especially when he's not seeing the middle of the field, which Jackson Dart should be significantly better at. So, I mean, listen, is this a good thing? Yeah, absolutely. Because we now have 14 games to figure out, not necessarily whether or not this guy is the quarterback of the future, but can we build off this? Is this like, does he have the traits? Does it translate to the next level? I personally believe that it will. And more importantly, is Brian Daboll the right coach? Like, this is it for him. Not only just to win a few games because the Giants are an embarrassment, and I find it very hard to believe that should they go another 4-13 or something comparable to that, it's obviously bad. But you took a rookie, 25th overall. You plan to sit him for probably close to half the season, if not a little bit more, if things went according to plan. And now you're 0-3, week 4, John Harbaugh, Jesse Minter coming to town, fearsome defense. Jim Harbaugh, what did I say?
John,
I'm still a little PTSD from last night's game. And always crossing my fingers that one of these teams just fires their really good head coach after a bad season and the Giants can scoop them up. But that's a conversation for a different time. Jim Harbaugh and Jesse Minter coming to town with that ferocious defense. Justin Herbert, who is passing at a rate never before seen in his career, in a must-win game. So win some games. Are we going to see some improvement from Jackson Dart throughout the course of the season? It's exciting. I mean, listen, over the last 2 years, we now have an offense that's featuring six overall wide receiver who, despite this past week's dud, I think myself and a lot of people would maintain he's absolutely a top five receiver.
He's second or third in the league in receiving yards, and he had basically did nothing last week. He's still well on pace.
Oh, bona fide wide receiver one.
100%. 100%. It's just, you know, if you want to get a group of guys together at a bar and argue between which LSU wide receiver is number one between neighbors Chase and Jefferson, you know, we can an argument for another time. But him, Dart, Scadabo, all Joe Shane draft picks that are now focal points of Brian Daboll's offense. So
don't forget about those two tackles too that are playing at a high level.
Well, they're playing at a high level, but you know, we're not thanking Joe Shane for Andrew Thomas. You know,
Where we're going with this is they're ready to drop a rookie quarterback into that bucket. Like this 100%. Is not a situation where
this was, we spoke about it yesterday, always maintained that this was a really good situation. You know, no one's worried about ruining Cam Ward's development or JJ McCarthy's development, or, you know, if they move to Shedeur Sanders, eventually Shador's like, it's stupid. Rarely are these situations perfect. And Jackson Dart is dropped into an objectively good situation, at least as it pertains to on the field, off the field and the narratives and the job saving and everything.
And the coaching.
Like we can admit that that situation could obviously be better. But if he's as mentally tough, and I believe he is because he was a starter in a big SEC program for 3 years, he'll be able to block that out and just focus on the game, focus on the offense. And this is a great situation for him. Very, very excited. And this Sunday is huge. I mean, this is like, I still remember where I was, who I watched with, what I ate on the day of Daniel Jones Buccaneers game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so like this, it's like those games are etched in your brain forever. Like, wow, this is the future. I'm witnessing it right now. It's a monumental occasion for the franchise. I'm just rambling at this point, but like this Sunday is huge.
The opportunity to see if you have your next franchise quarterback is always exciting. Because how important it is to have a franchise quarterback. But to piggyback off the situation standpoint, you brought up Daniel Jones. I think this is a much better situation for a rookie quarterback
100%.
Than what Daniel Jones got into in 2019. So the coaching aspect of it, yeah, that's a problem because Brian Daboll needs to win games and how that can potentially impact Jackson Dart and the pressure and all that. But like you said, you know, in the NFL, playing quarterback, there's always pressure, especially in New York. But I also think – listen, Brian Daboll picked this guy. So, you know, the development, the ability for Jackson Dart to get good results will be predicated on whether or not Brian Daboll keeps his job. So I think that can help in itself. But I think I really want to spend the remainder of the season separating the two things, how Jackson Dart looks versus Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job security. As much as I hate the fact that they're tied together, and I don't think they should be tied together because there's so much more to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane's job than just how Jackson Dart looks in 14 games as a rookie. Unfortunately, that's what's going to happen. And I think that's the only downside about this, right? Is if Jackson Dart puts up good numbers or if he wins a certain amount of games, or even if he starts slow but finishes strong, the bar is so low with them that it could potentially save their job. But nonetheless, young quarterback, rookie, first round pick playing, very exciting. Nick, what are your thoughts?
I was thinking about the comparison I wanted to make, and I came to Jeremy Renner at the end of the town where he knows he's about to get lit the fuck up by John Hamm and he tries to shoot back anyway. That's Brian Daboll right now. He knows almost certainly this isn't going to end well for him. You might as well and try and shoot one person back before you get clapped. That's where I'm at right now. Daboll and Shane are probably screwed, basically, barring something crazy. And I think the biggest barrier is going to be the conversation we often have about what is on the quarterback and what isn't. And I think the Herbert example is really going to be telling because you had very, very in the know people who are on TV saying, well, he can't be that good. If he was that good, the Chargers would win more than six games. If Dart goes out there and is efficient, they're moving the ball, they're scoring points, but they're still losing, I still think ultimately that falls on the coach. If the defense that they have spent all of this money on and all of these draft picks to upgrade is still bad and they are losing games, even with a good offense, I think ultimately that comes down to the coach. If he struggles, if he has a hard time, if he is not good, if it is more of a, well, he's hanging in there, he's making incremental improvements, that's a hard sell. And look, we know the John Mara doesn't particularly care about public opinion and degree. Well, not in practice, because there was no logical basis for bringing Shane and Daboll back. Logic-wise, there was none. Well, it was purely his feelings.
Not to like ruin your.
The only reason was this was picking their quarterback.
That's not a good reason.
But there was no. Totally understand.
I went back to try to find the quote, and maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like I distinctly remember that when at the end of the season, when asked about the planes and all that shit, he basically was like a defiant toddler, where he was like, "That just makes me want to stick to my guns even more." Like, am I making that up, or is that something that he said?
It was something similar to that.
Oh, yeah, something similar, right? So, yeah. Sorry, Nick. Not to you want to.
Oh no, you're fine. There.
Yeah,
you're
You brought up the Justin Herbert thing. The Justin Herbert rookie year is a great example of what the Giants could potentially be in, where they put the rookie in earlier than expected. Remember, Justin Herbert went in there when that situation with Tyrod Taylor and the medical doctor and all that. When Justin Herbert got in there, Justin Herbert had a great rookie season. I think he threw for over 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and he turned the ball.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, but they didn't win games, and they still fired
Anthony Lynn special.
Yeah, and he still got fired. Tom Telesco stayed, but Anthony Lynn got fired. So, look, it's going to be it's a tough to ask a rookie quarterback to save your job, right? The roster is going to have to be better. And look at the
situation, too. They're going – they have the Chargers this week, New Orleans, the Eagles, San Francisco, the Eagles. That is the crucible right there. Defense is still pretty good. I mean, that is a real crucible to get your feet under you. They are going to need to be as gimmicky as they possibly can offensively. They need the read option in there. The read option needs to be a constant presence in there as a security blanket. They need multi-back formations where they have both Singletary and Scadabo out there. They need to do everything they can to make this as easy as possible for Dart, because he's going to be up against it the next few weeks. The Eagles front seven is terrifying, and the Giants, for all of the times they've gotten their shit pushed in, just hanging around in these games would make me at least not even optimistic, but make me feel like there's a point to this. Like, not that we're just watching these games out of obligation, making it feel like, okay, we are making something happen here. He is in there. He is getting his shit rocked, but he is getting better, you know? And like I made the joke yesterday that if he's Blake Bortles and he puts up a lot of good stats while they're playing from behind, that's ultimately fine. And I think that buys everybody time. But in terms of the long-term goal of actually being a good football team, they have so much to accomplish here with Dart. And it's a lot to put on a guy. It's why we didn't want them to take a guy just for the sake of taking a guy. Because now it is entirely on Dart to perform and perform well so that the entire organization doesn't fall apart. Because that's basically what happens here if this goes bad. You know, well, if he goes out there...
Forget about falling apart. There is absolutely... Like, this is a last-ditch effort for Shane and Dable, but I would also argue it goes further than that, in the sense that it is also a, like, save my entire career type of move. You come in here off of Josh Allen's coattails, you double down on Daniel Jones, and you have some of the worst records in the NFL throughout the course of your tenure, outside of the one miracle season where you know, other teams lost games, you didn't win them, and you played some terrible defenses, and... If Jackson Dart doesn't work out, does Brian Daboll ever get another shot at a head coaching gig?
He's going to Nick Saban. I can't even say he's going to Nick Saban career rehab. That's not an option anymore.
Like, does Joe Shane
going to Belichick rehab? He'll be the OC at North Carolina next year.
There you go. Like, is Joe Shane getting another job if Jackson Dart stinks?
But it's just such an impossible task. Like,
but it's everything. It's everything. It's not just the double. It's not just he's a Josh Allen merchant and his Giants tenure has been awful. It's Saquon Barkley rushing for 2,000 and winning a Super Bowl the year after McKinney with the interceptions. And right now we're watching Daniel Jones 3-0 set the fucking world on fire in Indianapolis. Like, all of this is going on their resumes.
Yep.
Like, these guys are having insane success outside of the organization that they built. And so you trade up for Jackson Dart. It's more than just job saving time in the sense of their employment with the New York Giants. This is a career saving opportunity for them if they got it right.
Can I ask you a question? What is your realistic expectation for Jackson Dart? Because what I see, the sense I get from people like Giants fans is like the ceiling is like their bar right now for this rookie quarterback. And I think that's completely unfair. So what do you think is like a realistic expectation that we're like,
Trubisky, Mitch Trubisky a couple of years ago? I think athleticism, decent counting stats. He can sling it to one side of the field. I think Mitch Trubisky light, that's enough to buy them time. I think that's a passable goal for now. Obviously, you need better than Mitch Trubisky if you would like to win something, but fringe Pro Bowl record, 35.
Mitch Trubisky, I'm not talking about his career. I'm talking about the rookie year. Like, yeah. What is your, like, what's your realistic expectation? Because it's the
3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 to 15 picks. I expect a lot of picks. I expect a lot of turnovers because they got to be aggressive. Otherwise, there's no point in using this guy because his whole shtick is, I have the big arm. I'm a great athlete. If I put my head down, I'm going to try and run you over. I expect it to be kind of bumpy, but I do think there's something to that because this offense is too safe. It's too conservative. And because they don't get those chunk plays, they're constantly in these 15 play drives that die at the 10 and they don't score.
My turn?
Yeah, by all means.
I don't know. Like, I just don't know how to answer the question. Like, I'm very on the record per yesterday's podcast. Like, I think the Giants are 2-1 right now if Jackson Dart is the week one starting quarterback. Like, they so were in that
command. Is going to win some games here.
I don't know if he's going. I don't know, because I think what we know now is much different than we knew 3 weeks ago. Like, we knew the Cowboys defense was bad. I don't think we understood how historically bad it was going to be. I don't think going into the season, even with the injuries, I don't think anyone expected the Chiefs to be as bad as they were, right? Like, that's part of the problem, is that the Giants had three incredibly winnable games, weeks 1, 2, and 3. I mean, when people would ask me my opinion on the season, it was like, well, let's look at the first four games. Like, I could see very easily a world in which the team is 1-3 or 3-1. Like, I thought that they could at least get one of those games, or best case scenario, like, you never know. Chiefs coming to MetLife. Now the Chargers are going cross country. 10 a.m. game for that. Like, there are so many factors. So, but at the same time, now we know the Chiefs are good. The Eagles are still fucking dominant. Like, the Denver defense, one of the best in the league. Like, this is not going to be easy. They had very winnable games and they threw them away because the quarterback play wasn't good enough. And I still maintain that, especially against Dallas, given how bad the first half was, how bad the red zone was, how bad the overtime interception was. Like, all these games are won with competent quarterback play, which hopefully they now have. But like, as far as expectations and moving forward, like, don't be fucking embarrassing. Move the ball down the field. Keep the defense off the field, because you know they're pissed off and frustrated after the first 3 weeks, and that secondary can't be trusted anyway. So I don't know. I really like my I don't have expectations. I'm excited, but like, I don't want to put a number on it. I don't want to put, you know, a yardage total or a touchdown total or a win total on it. Just show me that you can move the ball. Show me that you can get the ball to Malik Nabers. I think they're going to be super run heavy, especially after the Scadabo's game against the Chiefs and how efficient he was on the ground. And as a receiver, he was excellent too. Like, I think that Jackson Dart's going to be just dinking and dunking him a ton, especially against the Chargers defense. So again, like, I don't have expectations. Just like, be competent, be generally competent.
And they need to be aggressive. That's the other thing. And this was ultimately what doomed Daniel Jones, was the offense was really predictable. It was really vanilla. Yeah. You need to take the occasional shot. You need to hit play action. You need pre-snap motion. You need as many bells and whistles as you can get to make this look as easy as possible. I mean, the obvious example is what Cam Newton did that rookie year, where the Panthers basically had him only looking at one half of the field, and he threw for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns, and he won rookie of the year. You want to simplify this as much as possible. I am weary of the transition from that Lane Kiffin offense to the NFL, but they have the skill position guys they have are good enough that this should not be a Herculean task to score points. I'm not even saying win games. I'm saying get to 21 points more than four times a season. That's really all I'm asking for right now.
Don't be a bottom five offense is the sense I get from you guys.
Yeah. You have a head coach whose thing is I scheme offense. All right, let's see it.
And this was his thing. It was like, let me pick my quarterback. That's why you hired me. Let me pick my quarterback. Well, this is his quarterback. All training camp, all preseason long, all we heard was how much Brian Daboll spends time with Jackson Dart, how he's high on Jackson Dart. Well, here it is. Let's see it. Even though it's maybe 4 or 5 weeks ahead of schedule. Let's go. And the schedule, man, it's tough. I would love to know what John Mara is now thinking. Like, what in his mind, what is he saying to himself? Because you can't
hire Bill Belichick.
You can't expect them to just win games like with a rookie quarterback. Like, even if the schedule was a lot easier, like, you can't just be like, okay, rookie quarterback, I expect, you know, winning. No, a rookie quarterback is about development. It's about getting better throughout the season. It's about the start of you building a foundation, not, you know, the foundation to you winning games. So I really don't know. I don't know what to expect. I think he'll put up numbers. I think he'll, you know, there'll be times where he's playing from behind and he'll make throws. I think the aggressive part is important, like you mentioned, Nick. I think he'll throw the ball. He's a gunslinger. I think he'll attack the middle of the field. I just want to be competitive in these games. I want to see competent coaching, keeping yourself into games. And, yeah, I want to see them possibly win a couple of games that we don't expect them to win right now, you know. And let's make, you know, God, it's impossible to say, but we'll love to see them look good against the Chargers and make us feel better and potentially be in a position to win that game in the fourth quarter. You know, look, the NFL majority of these games are close. So the Chargers have played 3 close games. So be competitive, look competent.
Do we have a kicker, by the way? Speaking of winning this game against the Chargers, have they signed a kicker?
No, not yet. I think they plan on wheeling out Graham Gano on a wheelchair to kick field goals.
But real quick, I did look this up because I was curious. So since 2000, there have been 14 quarterbacks picked after in the first round between 20 and 32. Of those 14, only 3 have turned out to be good NFL quarterbacks. But the good thing is those 3 guys are all, 2 of them are Hall of Famers, and the third one is a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. So there is a track record of this that you can delude yourself. You can talk yourself into this. I'm not saying this is a guy, but the capacity to be a guy is here. And right now, that is better than Russ. That's better than Jameis. And all I want is a reason to care. All I want is, okay, we are getting somewhere. Because I've been saying, go ahead.
There's also the element of the fact that they finally took a guy after 4 years, where it's like they finally drafted a guy that they believe in. And that's kind of like the relief here and finally seeing him play. But yeah, you're right, Nick. It's very hard to find a franchise quarterback in the NFL, especially one that's one of the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 best guys. But it's exciting. One more thing on the Chargers point, how it just resembles this Giants situation. Anthony Lynn was in his fourth year when Justin Herbert entered the equation. And the Chargers finished that year 7-9, and he was fired. So, again, I'm not trying to say these things mirror each other, but it's a very similar situation when you look at rookie quarterback, head coach. Fourth year expecting results. And even though Justin Herbert played lights out, which he did his rookie year, historically great rookie season, Anthony Lynn still got fired.
But they, I don't know. I would have to look back at their schedule and their record that year. I feel like they had some really abysmal losses.
They probably did. Anthony Lynn clock management is like a running joke.
Yeah,
like,
I remember. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just not knowing how timeouts work.
Well, I just want to point this out about Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn is first year in 2017. I know they had Phillip Rivers, but 9-7, 12-4, 5-11, 7-9, fired. So that's better than Dable, but they did have a lot of close losses. And you know what the crazy thing about the Chargers is, the year they fired Anthony Lynn was they finished the season on a 4-game winning streak.
That is crazy. All right. Well, I don't have any other thoughts. Just general excitement.
Yeah. The mystery box is enticing. There's a reason Peter took it.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely.
Could be anything. Could even be Russell Wilson. Could even be Daniel Jones. Could even be Tommy DeVito.
I'm excited. They're probably hoping that Jackson Dart's aura and personality can uplift the locker room a little bit. And I think that
100%.
Hey, there's a lot riding here for a lot of people.
Oh, this is like Ethan said, this is save my career, not my job, my career. Like, if this doesn't go well for Joe Shane, he's going to be working at like Under Armour. Like, he desperately needs this to go well for him.
It can always get worse. It can always
get worse. We're literally with the Browns and the Jets.
Yes.
Can it get worse?
Yes, it can absolutely get worse. Don't ever say it can never get worse, because it can get worse.
It always can.
I mean, we've been saying that for 4 years. This is, I mean.
And it has always been getting worse and worse. There's always been a new worst moment where you're like, damn, is this the worst thing I've ever seen?
Nah, I still think the Jake Fromm QB sneak is the lowest point of the last 4 years. That's like the most irreconcilable like nonsense I could imagine. And they went to the playoffs since then. Like, it's crazy to think about how that was 4 years ago at this point, the Jake Fromm run.
Yeah, you say that, and then 2 years later, Saquon Barkley wins the Super Bowl with the Eagles, and 3 years later, Daniel Jones leads the Colts to the AFC Championship game.
Let's wrap this up. All right. Thanks for listening. Back-to-back episodes. Jackson Dart on Sunday. Everyone's excited. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.